New York City to the world. Tom Sullivan is on now.
Yes, here we are. Welcome to the big radio show on this Wednesday, the 18th day of April, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. And so Southwest Airlines yesterday made a lot of news because of the flight that left LaGuardia and on its way to Dallas had to divert to Philadelphia because of the fact that one of their engines caught on fire and exploded. And it was an uncontained explosion, which is normal for engines that fail or have a fire or explode. The engine is made in a way to try to make sure that all that stuff doesn't go flying around. And sadly, one of the pieces flew and hit the side of the plane, broke the window, and the lady sitting there was killed. So what's amazing about this is a lot of people are walking around because a lot of people that know I'm a pilot want to ask me. I've never flown. I don't fly 737s. But they want to know. They want to know everything about this. And I'm thinking, I think the story is a testament to the safety of aviation. This is the first time any passengers have been killed on a flight in America since 2009. February of 2009, it was that Colgan plane that took off from Newark and was going to Buffalo with two very young, low-time, tired pilots in a snowstorm, and they put the plane into a stall and crashed in Buffalo, killing 49 people. 2009. So it's been 9 years and a couple of months that there hasn't been a single fatality. And I can't imagine, I mean, you know, let's play comparison here for just a moment. How many people are killed on our nation's highways every day? 9 years, nothing, no, zero, zip, nada. And out of this plane, 15,000 planes in the air over America yesterday, and one of them has an engine that blows up that is not contained and kills one person out of the 150 people that are on that plane. What are the chances? I don't know if you believe in fate. And God bless the poor woman. She sounds like she was a terrific lady, mom of two. Wells Fargo person that was obviously in New York for something, going home to New Mexico via Dallas. Just another business trip for her. And she winds up being killed by this. It was her time, makes you wonder, doesn't it? To be in that exact spot at that exact time. But there's a lot of there's a lot of buzz about this whole thing. And I think some of the lessons, I think, like you said, are that not only flying is incredibly safe, but also that particular plane, by now I'm sure most of you have seen that plane. That left engine just is obliterated. And you've got to look at that and go, and they still flew the plane. The plane flew just fine. They called air traffic control. They had just been cleared to go from 30,000 feet up to 38,000 feet. They were climbing. And they were, so they were at high altitude. They'd been in the air 20 minutes. Everything was going fine. And this explodes. And so the captain of the flight is getting a lot of accolades. Tammy Jo Schultz is her name. She should. She did a great job. A great job. But she did what pilots are trained to do. But at the same time, when it comes right down to this wasn't training, this was the real deal. She did it. She executed her job perfectly. But she told them that they had an engine fire and they were single engine. In other words, they only had one engine. One had failed. One was on fire. And she asked for the closest airport. And a couple of seconds later, she says, and can you make that Philadelphia? So her co-pilot was obviously looking for where's the nearest, and there's a, with the navigation gear, you can just push a button now, and it'll tell you exactly the nearest airport that you can use, how far away it is, and what direction you need to point the plane to get there. And so air traffic control said, fine, Philadelphia, turn left, and gave them a heading, and she immediately started her descent. She didn't wait for them. She told them she was doing an emergency descent. So down they come, make the turn, fly out actually some distance because she said she wanted to slow the plane down because she knew she had a hole in the plane. And so she wanted to slow the plane down. And when you're descending, there's a tendency for a plane to pick up speed, just like a car going downhill. A vehicle heading downhill is going to pick up speed. So she was trying to. She flew the plane even a little bit further than you would think so that she could slow it down. They asked her, where you can get oxygen is down around 10, 11, 12,000 feet. You can breathe without oxygen. There's enough oxygen in the air to sustain your requirement as a human being. So they asked her if she would like 11,000 feet, and she said yes. They asked her, could you maintain 11,000 feet? She said, yes, I can. So they could fly the plane. They changed direction. They descended. They went out on a downwind leg and came around and landed the plane without any incident whatsoever. And once they got off of the main runway, the fire department came out and sprayed foam all over the engine that previously had been in fire. But she told air traffic control, she updated them because they said, are you on fire? And she said, no, we're just single engine now. In other words, they have all engines have fire retardant bottles that you can fire, that you can push a button and they put out the fire. So all of this shows that even with a obliterated engine that looks really, really bad, the plane flew perfectly well. In all of your commercial flights, all of those planes, if they have two engines, they are certified to fly on one. If they have four engines, they're certified to fly on three or two. You don't need all the engines. So it was a great job. But the other part about this is, and I just want to get to this because there's a guy who got a lot of media attention out of this, Manny Martinez. And Manny, which cracks me up, because Manny wasn't alone. I'm not picking on him. But a lot of people, there they are. Scary moment. Big boom, and all of a sudden the window breaks, and this woman's been hurt, and there's other passengers that have been hurt as well, and it's got to be terrifying. So in a terrifying moment, what do? Yes, you reach for your smartphone, and you pull out the smartphone and start taking photos, and Manny Martinez actually logged on to Facebook so he could do Facebook Live. He thinks he's going to die. And so what does he do? Takes out his phone, dials into his Facebook account, and does a Facebook Live saying, there's something wrong with the plane. I think we're going down. Now, I find it fascinating that this is what people do when there is something that normally you would think you would not be thinking of taking photos. Now, the other thing, which I think is very, very instructional, is that a lot of the photos, Manny also took some still photos, selfies, and you could see, I don't know, 20, 30 people in the seats way back behind him and everything else, the row behind him, the row behind that, the row behind that. If you take a look at those photos, something jumped out at me. All the oxygen masks had fallen because of the fact that the plane was depressurized when the window was broken. We'll get into that in just a minute. So the oxygen masks all fall down. And you know how the flight attendants at the beginning of every flight, they tell you, they go through a little demonstration, they show, and if we lose pressurization, oxygen masks will fall from the ceiling. Put them on this, and they demonstrate the whole thing. Put them over your nose and mouth and put the little plastic thing behind you, the little strap. Every single person sitting behind Manny Martinez did not have the oxygen mask on properly. Not one of them. Not a single one of them. They had it over their mouth, but not over their nose. And they say at the beginning of every flight to put the mask over your nose and mouth and pull the strap get it snugly on you. The bag may not inflate, but the oxygen is running. Not yes. I've heard that thing so many times. I mean, here it is. In the event of decompression, an oxygen mask will automatically appear in front of you. To start the flow of oxygen, pull the mask toward you, place it firmly over your nose and mouth. Secure the elastic band behind your head and breathe normally. Although the bag does not inflate, oxygen is flowing to the mask. And they go through the thing, if you're traveling with a child, make sure you secure your first. Not one person in a real live situation had it over their nose and mouth. Not one. The idea is there's not enough oxygen there to sustain a human being at 30,000 feet for very long. It doesn't take long before hypoxia kicks in and you pass out and die. But it does kind of make you feel good, apparently. So you go out laughing. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. Why don't people pay any attention to the flight attendants doing the safety demonstration? Nobody does. Everybody's talking, yapping, looking around. They do it for a reason. 855-295-6600.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan on air, online, on demand.
So, boom, goes the engine and crashed through the window, which, man, though that had to be some hit for it to go through that window, because those windows are very thick, and the pressurization from inside the plane is just pretty intense. When you lose pressurization, that's the other thing. I don't know if people heard the engine explode so much as they heard the metal hit the window and break it. And then the one thing about a decompression, which most people have never been through a decompression. I had to train doing decompressions. And the first time I ever had it, the examiner who was with me, he told me he was going to depressurize the plane. And when it happened, it was the loudest explosion you can ever imagine. Nothing exploded. It was just the air. It was so loud. It is just like a bomb going off. It's so loud. So it'll get your attention, I'll tell you that. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Susan in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Tom. I love your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to start out with just my thoughts and prayers for that family of that woman. Just
absolutely
so horrible.
Yep.
So I was in my other lifetime, I was a flight attendant for Eastern Airlines. So that tells you how long ago it was.
Oh, it's been a while. Yeah.
But when I was a newbie and only been flying for about a month, we had a flight going from LaGuardia to Miami.
Yep.
And an engine caught fire, and we had to make an emergency landing in Norfolk, Virginia.
Yep.
And when we took off initially, nobody watched the safety drill. Nobody paid attention. We stayed in Norfolk for about 5 hours, and when we got on the plane, a new plane, to get to Miami, you better bet every single person was watching that demonstration.
I bet they were taking notes. They were paying attention. Yes, but you see yep. it's you see it, Susan. People are doing anything and everything. I could yep. I literally can repeat that off the top of my head because I've heard it so many times. But I actually kind of pretend like I'm paying attention just out of politeness because these poor flight attendants are. They want somebody that looks like they're paying attention, so I try to pretend, even though I know what they're saying. But I could not believe not one person had the oxygen mask on properly. Not one.
Yeah, I know when I fly, I always remind myself where the exits are. I'm always really observant of those types of things. Just kind of take note and pay attention because things happen. But
and when it happens, you don't get a lot of warning, like in this particular case. So,
right.
I don't know. I think the crew did a first class job. There was a lot of chaos in the cabin, but rightfully so. I mean, my gosh, there were people hurt and the mask came down. But have you ever been in with a decompression? You ever had a decompression in your years of flying?
No, I can't even imagine. I mean, like you're saying that whatever it was that hit the plane that broke that window, I mean, just that noise. I mean, I would think I would have died of a heart attack on it. I just can't imagine.
Yeah.
How terrifying that whole experience was.
Well, the other part about it, and a lot of the people that were on the plane were talking about the fact that the plane they saw was falling. It was falling. The explosion happened. The window broke, and then the plane was falling. And I'm going, no, it's called an emergency descent because you've got to get that plane down to 10,000 feet or so to get oxygen so that people can breathe because the decompression's gone. You can't breathe up there. So the emergency descent is what pilots train for over and over and over and over and over. But I'm telling you, you are dropping like a rock. That's the idea. Get down to 10,000 feet as fast as you can. So I know people thought they were falling, but actually it was controlled. That's what you're supposed to do. But it scares people, I guess.
Right.
I would think, yeah. All right, Susan, thanks. Appreciate the call. People are going, Eastern Airlines? What? I've never heard of Eastern Airlines. It was a few years ago. It was a few years ago. Yeah. So emergency descent is, there's a couple ways to do it depending upon what the plane is that you're flying. But regardless of what method you use to get down, the idea is to descend and descend as fast as you can. And so people thought they were falling when in fact the pilot, Tammy Jo Schultz, executed that emergency by the book. We'll be right back.
With Tom Sullivan.
Yeah, we have a part of the aircraft that you still going to need to slow down a bit.
Southwest 1380, speed is your discretion. Maintain any altitude above 3,000 feet. Southwest 1380, turn just start turning southbound there. There's a Southwest 737 on a 4 mile final. We'll be turning southbound. Start looking for the airport. It's off to your right and slightly behind you there. And altitude is your discretion. Use caution for the downtown area. Maintain advise you to maintain at above 2,200 for DMVA.
Okay, could you have the medical meet us there on the runway as well? We've got injured passengers.
Injured passengers, okay. And is your airplane physically on fire?
No, it's not on fire, but part of it's missing. They said there was a hole and someone went out.
I'm sorry, you said there was a hole and somebody went out? South of 1380, it doesn't matter. We'll work it out there. So the airport's just off to your right. Report it in sight, please.
South of 1380, airport's in sight.
What a hats off to the air traffic controller as well. Whoever that was just as helpful as you could possibly want if you are a pilot with a crippled airplane and you've got to get that thing down. And that that air traffic controller deserves a lot of praise as well, because I mean, he even caught himself. It was interesting because it caught him when she said, "And somebody went out." And he goes, "And somebody went out? Oh, never mind. It doesn't matter." And look for the airport on your right hand side. And it was excellent. It was just excellent, excellent, excellent. And air traffic control is really there to help pilots when there is trouble. I know they're not in the plane, but, boy, they can make a huge difference on how they handle it and the instructions they give. So to the pilot, Tammy Jo Schultz, you may have heard by now, she was a naval aviator. That's what they call themselves, not pilots. They call themselves aviators. She flew for the Navy for 10 years. One of the first to be a fighter pilot. She was among the first female fighter pilots to transition to tactical aircraft, according to the U.S. Navy. New Mexico native, graduated with degrees in biology and agribusiness before joining the Navy. She left active service in 1993. She achieved the rank of lieutenant commander. Her husband is also a pilot for Southwest. And some people on social media were comparing her to Captain Sullenberger, Sully Sullenberger, the Hudson River guy. And I'll bet you Sully would say, wouldn't say it out loud because he's just too nice of a man. But that's what you train to do. You train that over and over and over. She did an excellent job. An excellent job. What Sullenberger did was something that you don't train for. Well, landing in a river with no engines. So congratulations to her. I don't know the name of her first officer, but obviously he was very instrumental in this. The air traffic controller, it takes that kind of teamwork. They executed it perfectly. 855-295-6600. So the engine is used in about 8,000 aircraft. It's a very popular engine, has a great safety record. So does the 737. Southwest flies 800 of them. It's just a safe engine, a safe aircraft, well-trained pilots and air traffic controllers. And this is where you come out with, unfortunately, the tragedy of this woman who was just on a business trip, got killed. Jennifer Reardon is the woman's name who died, married with two children, longtime employee of Wells Fargo, visiting New York City. Natalie in California. Natalie, hi, welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi.
Hi.
So I was just saying, like, we were talking about, like, why the people on the plane, like, might have not put the device over their nose. And I was just saying, like, when you don't, like, when you never think about that, like, happening to you, you never think about, like, you never really put into place in your mind that might actually happen, you know?
Well.
You never, like, really
think about that. No, but somewhere, someplace, sometime, I think you kind of should pay attention, don't you think? A little bit? To what they're saying, they say it over your nose and mouth, and then they show you and they turn their heads. There's a whole demonstration technique to it to make sure you know. Put the thing over your nose and mouth, and not one person did it, not one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not good.
What do you think it is?
I think also it's panic. So like some people function better in like bad situations. So, like, your brain doesn't think always so clearly, I feel like, in some situations, whereas other people, their brains think, like, super clearly. And the type of situations, they're able to, like, calm down and think about what they need to think about to survive. Other people, like, they just panic.
Okay.
It's kind of flight or flight. Flight or flight, maybe.
So, Natalie, I have a question for you, though, about all of this. Why, if they were panicking, why, if they thought that they're probably going to die, Why did they take out their cameras, their phones, and start taking photos and videos? Why?
Okay, so, like, my idea of this is, I don't know the age group of these passengers, but, or if they just are, like, I know some older people who are, like, really like their phones, too. So, I just feel like if you were to be, like, dying or you think you're, this is it.
Yeah.
At least someone saw. At least someone could see evidence or they know what's going on. So people are, it's just kind of like this crazy thing, you know, like that's always happening nowadays. We have like people taking videos of and going live when these crazy things are happening.
Yeah.
And it's just a way for like people, it's like our, we're the journalists, we feel like. We have a phone in our hand. We have power with that, you know. We can go on Twitter. We can get all these people to see. We don't feel like we're crazy.
And you've got a little.
We don't feel as crazy because people are watching.
You've got some control. It gives you a feeling that you've got some control over what's going on. All right. Hey, Natalie, thank you. I do appreciate your call. Heard a story the other day about a guy who survived a United Airlines accident, Sioux City, Iowa, where they had an engine explode and cut the hydraulics, and when the plane. Amazing they even got it on the runway, but they were not able to control it. It flipped over, broke into pieces. About half the people died. Half of them lived. This guy obviously was a survivor. But he was talking about how this is before phones, cell phones, that he wrote a note to his wife and put it in his briefcase thinking that it would survive the accident if he was killed and all that. It turns out that he got out alive, but that the plane caught on fire and his briefcase and his note were completely destroyed by fire. So I guess it gives you some hope that maybe somebody will know what happened, what you went through. Jim, welcome to the program. Hi, Jim. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah. Two aspects of this thing, Tom, that I found interesting in your comments. One was having spent 16 years in emergency services, and I know you have as well, in training. You train, and a lot of that is for situational awareness. You always need to be aware of what's going on around you. But if you're not in emergency services, you tend not to think in that manner. You know, I think those of us that have been in it don't panic in those situations. We look at it and say, okay, now what? And I find that I pay attention, even though I haven't been in emergency services for 20 years now. I find that anywhere I go, if I'm not in control of the situation, I really pay attention to what's going on around me and so on.
We're going to get cut off by the computer here. I think your point is excellent, Jim. And the point is training. That when stuff hits the fan, you've trained, you know how to react.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
So the NTSB just held a briefing on what they've learned in the last 24 hours. And they said that the aircraft landed at 165 knots. For its weight, it should have landed at around 135 knots. So the reason for the extra speed was because of the fact that they did not use full flaps, because of the fact that they weren't sure about the damage that they had in that area. So they used less flaps, a little bit faster speed for the landing, but that's fine, and it worked out just fine, and Philadelphia has a long enough runway for them, that it was 22 minutes from the moment of the event until touchdown. 22 minutes from the bang till they were on the ground safely. I'm sure that was a long 22 minutes for the people on board. One guy, Joe Marcus, was a passenger on the flight and describes what was going on the plane.
So, yeah, I was traveling alone to Dallas to visit my sister, who lives out there. And I got a pretty good seat right by the window. Kind of mid-flight, I hear a big boom. Look to my left, the engine's totally just black. People screaming.
So you could see the engine from where you were
sitting? From where my seat was, because I got a nice window seat.
Did you see this woman who was partially sucked out of the...
No, I heard a lot of a big explosion behind me. There's a couple rows back.
Okay.
So I was just trying to, you know, keep everyone calm in my section and just really, you know, just listen to the instructions. You know, the oxygen mask came down. Everyone was kind of freaking out a little bit. Yeah, a lot of people trying to call their, you know, their family. The woman next to me, you know, asked me if I wanted to text anyone. And I was ready on my phone trying to, you know, get the word out to my family. And yeah, I mean, there was a lot of, you know, chaos happening during that moment.
Yeah, a lot of chaos. That was Martha McCallum on her show last night. So they're checking all the engines. They're very popular engines. It's a joint venture between General Electric and Safran, which is a French engine maker. They've been around for a long time. Very, very, very good engines. So do they have a metal fatigue? Are you afraid to get on a flight because of this? Are they going to be checking these engines? And there's lots of ways to check for metal fatigue, but one of them is you actually x-ray the body, x-ray the engine, look for metal fatigue. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Tommy, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Doing great. What you got?
Great. A friend of mine's a captain for Southwest Airlines, and I talked to him this morning. I know him really well, and he was telling me the same thing, that the engines are not owned by Southwest Airlines, or leased, and that the light maintenance is done by the Southwest mechanics, but the internal is done by the company, and they usually send the engines back. And I'm not quite sure where they do it, but he also said too that those are very reliable engines. He says it's the most popular engine out there right now with all the flights every day. If another one blew up today, it would not make it not safe. And, you know, people may be freaked out a little bit, but, you know, he's not scared and neither am I. I mean, but at the same time, you know, if it continues to happen, then they may have a problem. But one thing about engines, and I know that your son's a pilot, and that also you're a pilot. If I'm not mistaken, you guys were inspired by Mr. Bill over there at the Commander Bill Gate. But I just lost my train of thought. Anyway, I just want to share that with you.
Well, they're very safe. And the other thing is, like I said, the plane, it's pretty rare for it's not rare for an engine to fail. There are engine failures. They're not common, but they're not one in a billion. I mean, they do happen. And so when one happens, or you hit birds or whatever it might be, you call air traffic control, you set up the procedure to come back and land. That's all it really is more of an inconvenience to people than anything else. The fact that this blew the protective shield around the jet engine is the thing that is rare, that it actually was able to break through that. It does happen, but that's really, really rare. So, again, how many people were killed on highways today? You know, it's an awfully safe way to go.
He also told me that was the first casualty that Southwest Airlines has had.
Yes, in their 50-year history.
There was
50
one on the
years.
Ground.
Yep.
Yeah, there was one on the ground, the one out in Chicago. I believe it slid off the runway and
Hit a car.
Wrecked and
hit a car, and a boy in the car died. Yeah. Yeah. But but this is the first passenger.
Passengers. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, first one. So
in their history.
But it's amazing those engines spin so fast. I mean, they spin at 57,000 RPMs. It's amazing that doesn't happen more because of how fast they spin. And he also told me that the engines, he can be in Minnesota, it'll be 11 degrees out, and within just 30 seconds, the engine's at 450 degrees. And, you know, what makes metal fatigue is, you know, wide ranges in heat and cold. And, you know, that they're truly remarkable engines.
They are. I mean, that's the whole concept of jet engines, first of all, is pretty remarkable. And secondly, your point is excellent, that you go from super hot on the ground at Phoenix in the summertime and take off and fire that thing up and make it even hotter and then get up to altitude where it's 30 degrees below zero, and that metal bent cold, hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, it does the job on them. So that's why they inspect them all the time. This particular engine was apparently worked on 2 or 3 days before the accident. So,
oh wow,
yeah. So they took a good look at it. Yeah, but I don't have any worries about it. And even if one does fail, so inconvenient, you're going to be late. They're going to land the plane, and you're going to be late. But that's it. That's except for this lady who the chances of her being killed on that plane, the first passenger in 50 years of Southwest Airlines, is pretty amazing. But God rest her soul. But, Tommy, thank you. Good information from your friend. One other little point, if I may. So they take a photo of the window. Somebody snapped a photo. And you can see where the seat belt in that seat next to the window had been used. But whether she had it on or not is also, I hope the investigation will address that, because I don't know how you get sucked out of a window with your seatbelt on. So it goes back to, you see these stories all the time of turbulence and people are hurt. You go, well, why didn't you wear your seatbelt? It wouldn't have happened. I don't understand. People don't put on their seatbelts. People don't put on their oxygen mask the proper way. And they still have an incredible safety record. All right, short break. We've got much more to get to. So stick around. We'll be right back. Don't go away.